As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
To another episode of Game Notes, your Utah Jazz podcast on the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm Dave DeFore, here as I am each and every week with Tony Jones.
Hi.
What's up, Tony? Hi, Tony. We saw each other this week.
Yes, we did.
Pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. I always love to see Tony. Got to watch the Jazz lose to the Mavericks. Luka Doncic was insane in that game, man.
That's because he's an insane basketball player.
What he's been doing since he came back the 2nd of January, I'm not going to say it's unheralded because it's Luka Doncic and we talk about everybody. So, of course, we talk about Luka Doncic. But he's been on another level. This was like another leap. He got healthy.
Well, he got in shape. That's right, what happened. He was out of shape in October and November. And through half of December, and then, you know, he went away, and he came back, he got in shape.
Yeah.
He's been killing ever since.
Yeah, and it was the second night of the back-to-back for the Jazz at the end of a long road trip. I'm not sure that there should be a ton of takeaways from that game. I mean, do you have
zero
any?
Zero takeaways.
Yeah,
were never going to win that game.
Yeah, you even told me, and this is for real, you even told me. I was like, all right, what's going to happen tonight? You said, hey, they're going to lose by at least 15. He was like, it may feel worse. They may even get the score closer. He was like, but they're gonna get blown out. Second night of a back to back, end of a long road trip, schedule loss. Tony Jones, you're an expert at your craft.
I've been doing this for 8 years.
Yeah, I mean, you know what you're talking about.
When you are on the end of a road trip that's 10 days long, and you're playing your third game in 4 nights, and you're playing the second night of a back to back, and you're playing against an opponent you've already beaten twice, so they're going to be amped up to beat you, especially because they're so close to you. There was very little chance that the Jazz were going to win that game. So I'm sorry to everybody who was on Twitter that went and tried to have a takeaway from that game, but there's no takeaway from that game other than Dallas won and Utah lost. And Luka Doncic is insane. He really was. That first quarter, we were
he
like
was nuts. Yeah,
we were sitting in the media row. We were like, no way he hits this. Oh my God, he hit that.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
That guy, he's just nuts, man. It was a fun game to actually like sit and watch with, you know, my buddy. You know what I mean? Like that was actually like it turned into that because they were just nuts. All right. Well, let's talk about Utah then. And what they have coming up. Because, Tony, they've got a game against the Spurs. We're recording this on Thursday, the 10th. They have a game against the Spurs in San Antonio on the 11th. And then they have a 4-game homestand. And things get rough after that for them. They go on a big East Coast trip. This homestand,
that is as rough a trip. That East Coast trip. We'll get to
the East Coast trip. When it comes up.
No. It's on my mind. So I got to say something.
All right.
That is as rough a trip as you were going to. If the Jazz go 3-3 on that trip, that will have been a great trip for them.
Well, it's not even just an East Coast trip. It's a trip to the East Coast, then back to Dallas, then out West. It's,
well,
the Knicks and the Nets back to back. Then you got the Celtics and Hornets.
It starts in New York and it ends in – you're going to see New York and Los Angeles on the same trip.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and it's just – and every team that they play is good, is going to be good, good to great, except for my Knicks. But even my Knicks are playing well. I mean, it's just a trip where that trip is so brutal that the Jazz could be playing well and go 2-4.
It's completely true. And especially road games, the back-to-back, having to catch the Nets on the second night of the back-to-back, still don't know. I'm assuming no Kyrie for the Nets, but still the Nets. I mean, Kevin Durant's playing. It's not going to be
Durant's
easy.
Well, Durant's going to be playing. And Dragic, and Dragic has eased the no Kyrie thing significantly because Dragic is really good to eat innings. I mean, the Knicks are playing well, so, that's going to be brutal. And then, the Nets, and then you're going to the Celtics, who are playing as well as any team in the league. And then on the fourth game of the trip, you have Charlotte, who pushes the ball, who plays as fast as any team in the league.
And has been playing really well lately.
Right. And then you're going to Dallas, and then you're going to the Clippers. It's just as brutal a trip. It's as long. It's going to be the longest trip that I've ever been on in my years as a beat writer. And I've never seen a trip where it starts. I've never seen the NBA make a team start a trip in New York and see New York and Los Angeles on the exact same trip. I've never seen that. That's unprecedented. So, the gist of the whole thing is, if the Jazz want to put themselves in good position, they're going to have to really take care of these games before this trip starts. Because that's going to be really essential for them.
So they've got the Spurs, as I mentioned, then they've got the Kings, Bucks, Bulls, and Clippers all at home, at least a day off in between every game. So you don't have to worry about back-to-backs. That's nice for this team because we know they don't love the second night of a back-to-back. But Kings, Bucks, Bulls, and Clippers, I mean, you have to think they're going to take the Kings. The Kings are just not nearly as good as Utah. But Bucks, Bulls, and Clippers, the Bulls down a little right now. Obviously still no Lonzo, no Caruso, Vooch. Maybe he's back, maybe he's not. So they're not as scary. But Bucks and Clippers, I mean, if they go 2-2 at home next week, that could be the end of home court advantage for them. It's so tight right now in the West.
Yeah, the Knicks did the Jazz a real favor by beating the Mavericks on Wednesday night because it essentially gave them the game back that they lost. To the Jazz they lost to the Mavericks on Monday. Now we got to realize the thing with the Jazz, they're going to have the tiebreak over the Mavericks and the Nuggets. Very likely going to have a tiebreak over both those teams. They're definitely going to have a tiebreak over the Nuggets. And even if they lose to Dallas, the second. To tie that season series up, the second tiebreaker is going to be the division, and the Jazz are going to win. If they finish ahead of Denver, they're going to win that division, which would give them the tiebreak over Dallas, if that makes sense.
Yes, but I need an abacus and a scratch piece of paper to keep track of it. It's going to look, yeah. It's tight, right? Like, but here's the thing. Utah is in the driver's seat because they currently – they have home court advantage. So as long as they can handle business, they can keep it. But the problem is, man, that road trip is going to be hard regardless. It's a bunch of hard teams. It'd be hard home games. But to have to do it on the road, I think this homestand, Tony, this is the pivotal moment in their season. I think they need to go 3-1. I think they need to go 4-0 at home, Tony.
I would say 3-1. And the reason why I would say 3-1 is because Dallas is east next week.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be rough on them. It's not as rough a trip. It's not going to be as rough a trip as what the Jazz are going to, but it's rough. I believe they see Philly in that trip. And I believe they see Boston in that trip. I believe they see Philly and Boston in that trip. So that they're not going to have Dallas next week. They're not going to have, they're not going to have a cakewalk next week. And Denver has a rough close as well, but you know, the Jazz have to put themselves in position, and, you know, and it's something that I wrote, you know, which is, you know, these games against these teams that are under 500, the Jazz can't blow any more of those games. So, you know, they can't go to San Antonio and blow that game tomorrow night. They can't come back on Saturday against the Kings and blow that game. And, I mean, you know, obviously the Bucks are the Bucks, so they could play well on Monday at home against the Bucks and still lose that game. But, you know, with no Lonzo, no Caruso, I mean, you know, they got to play well against the Bulls, and they got to do the same against the Clippers. I mean, they have to, you know, they have to take the margin for error is gone, because if the Jazz, you know, go on a free fall, they can finish sixth. I mean, they're only two games up in the loss column on sixth. And if they somehow go on a roll, they can finish second, because they're only two games behind in the loss column for second. You know, so, you know, it's kind of amazing that, you know, the narrative out there is that, you know, most of these seedings are set, when honestly, there's only four games between in the loss column between second and sixth. And I don't think any of these seedings are set, because I think, you know, I think the only thing that's really set for me is if Memphis still plays as well as they can. If Memphis plays as well as they have been, you know, before the All-Star break, they should finish second, because they're the team out of this whole equation with an easy schedule. But Golden State has a rough schedule. The Jazz have a rough schedule. Dallas still has some rough spots in their schedule, and Denver still has some rough spots in their schedule. And the other thing is, you know, Memphis plays Golden State. The Jazz play Golden State and Memphis. The Jazz still have Dallas left. I mean, all of these teams have games in hand against the others. So I think that, you know, between second and six, I still think that there's a mad scramble between who's going to finish where.
Yeah. So, all right, looking at these games, man, I think the Bucks, like you said, it's not going to be a toss-up, because the Bucks should, you know, they're going into Utah. It's close to a toss-up, maybe by the line, but I favor the Bucks in just about any game against anybody. So if you do go 3-1 at home, Tony, you got to beat the Clippers. And the Clippers are a tough matchup for Utah. What can they do differently than they usually do? Because they need to win.
A tough matchup for Utah, but you know, without Paul George, without Norman Powell, I mean, the Jazz are a better team. You know, so they should win the game.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
You want to talk about Mike Conley a little bit?
Sure.
Is Mike Conley running out of steam? Is that what we're looking at right now? I mean, it's a long season, and I know one of the goals was to try to protect his legs, try to keep him fresh for the playoffs. I mean, you know, older players, you have to manage minutes and all of these sorts of things. Is that what we're looking at, Tony?
I think Mike Conley had to take on such a big load in January on and off the floor. Mm-hmm. That, you know, he has run out of gas a little bit. And, you know, because of that, it's really interesting, and I think the Jazz are in a tough spot because you need him on the floor. But, you know, everybody knows what the March schedule is. You know, the March schedule is a sprint because, you know, you're playing every other day and you're playing 3 and 4 and you're traveling, you know, so, you know, the Jazz really need him on the floor. And yet there's going to be like no chances for an extended rest, which is, you know, why to me, you know, take care of whatever Portland decided to put out there on Wednesday night. That was an abomination. Was good for the Jazz because, you know, Conley only had to play, you know, basically 2.5 quarters, and he didn't have to play in the fourth, and, you know, he got some extra rest. You look at Conley, and, you know, the first step hasn't been there since before the All-Star break. And you look at the usage that he had in January. I mean, he was the only creation engine on the team for a good part of January. And, you know, and I think that really, you know, kind of tuckered him out a little bit. And you could see the first time I noticed it was in the Laker game, the game before the All-Star break, when the Jazz lost the Lakers. And I just was just like, wow, Mike, you know, can't really get to his spots. He's not beating people off the dribble. He looks exhausted. He looks like he needs the All-Star break because he was terrific in January. I mean, he was absolutely terrific. And then when he came off the All-Star break, I mean, it's, you know, pretty much, you know, been the same thing. He had that stretch where he closed. He closed out against, you know, the Houston Rockets. But if you look at that game where he closed, when he made all those threes, he closed it off the ball. It was basically him standing in a corner and Donovan Mitchell finding him and him making big shots. He's got to get back to where he's, you know, that guy who, you know, can just get to where he wants off the dribble, on the ball and then pick and roll. And he hasn't been at that level since, you know, before the All-Star break.
So what's the answer to, you know, buy some time? Because they need to win games. Like, we just laid this whole thing out. They need to win games. This is a team that should want home court advantage for as long as they can have it. But they also need to somehow serve two interests here because he clearly needs to get his legs underneath him again. Is it Trent Forrest? I mean, like, what's the answer here to try to just buy extra rest for him?
Well, I think in game, you're seeing Donovan Mitchell handle the ball as the point guard a lot more, even with Conley on the floor. And I think that helps because, you know, that's taken, you know, a lot of the actual point guard responsibility away from Conley, and he can just kind of create, you know, just kind of create off the catch. And, you know, knowing Mike, I know that, you know, he doesn't, you know, I mean, he'll do it because, you know, he's Mike Conley, you know, but he'd much rather prefer to have the basketball in his hands, which is understandable when you know, have been as good as he's been for as long as he's been. You know, so I think that's one thing. You know, I think you keep him at 28 minutes a night. You know, that's another thing. You know, I think that, you know, despite what he said in terms of ramping his minutes up, playing him in back-to-backs, I think you sit him out of back-to-backs. You got to have Conley in position to where he's at his best in the playoffs, because if you look at the numbers and you look at the metrics, there is not a single player on this team who's not better when Conley's off the floor than when Conley's on the floor. And, you know, this team is just a better team when he's on the floor. You know, so they got to do whatever they can to have Conley at his best. And, in the first round, as long as he's healthy in the first round, it's going to be fine. I think because the NBA spaces the first round out so much. But then when you get to the second round and you get to like game five, game six of that second round, and those games are every other day, that's when you really have to worry about fatigue. So, you know, the Jazz just don't have a chance without Conley being at his best. So, you know, they need everybody at their best. And I think that they're a team that, you know, when everybody is at their best, you know, they're an elite team. But if they miss one guy, you know, right now, right, you're looking at Phoenix, and Phoenix missing Chris Paul, but they're still an elite team. You know, I don't think the Jazz can still be an elite team if they're missing Mike Conley.
Yeah, and I mean, it started with the Joe Ingles injury, you know, just more workload for everybody, and Conley was kind of the guy that had to step up and take on a little bit more. And it's funny to say this, is he's had a really good season, and it's just tailing off at the, maybe not the worst time. The worst time would be a month from now, but luckily it's started early enough.
The worst time will be a month from now. I think what you really have to not lose sight in is that the Jazz are 11-3 in their last 14 games. Like,
right.
You know, through all of this, you know, and I've seen some really wild stuff on Twitter. Like, you know, oh my God, the Dallas loss is so concerning, or, you know, the New Orleans loss is so concerning. Listen, the Jazz are 11-3 in their last 14 games. Like, they've clearly gotten back on the right track in some respects. So, you know, I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, it's not perfect with the Jazz right now. And, you know, they're definitely not playing perfect basketball, but they're playing good basketball, and they're playing better basketball than they have been. And, you know, teams are going to lose. Like, you look at what Dallas put in emotionally on Monday night. They came out flat as a pancake against the Knicks on Wednesday, and they got the doors blown off. Because this is a marathon, and you're playing 82 games, and it's hard to play at optimum level on every single night, and especially in March, where you're playing essentially 17 or 18 games in 30 nights. So, you know, I think that people just need to have an even keel through all of this and not try to take away, you know, have grandiose takeaways through over, you know, regular season games. You know, right now teams are just trying to get to the playoffs. And I know that some of these games are important, and I know that some of these games mean more than the other, but they are all still games, and they are all coming really fast. So I think that people just need to just kind of chill out and just kind of have an even keel and take away the whole instead of the sum of the parts.
I think that's very well said, Tony. It's a long season. It is a marathon. And it makes sense to be tired at this point. I mean, again, the whole plan was got to rest these guys' legs, got to keep them fresh, because we don't want to run out of gas in the playoffs. So, I mean, I expect we'll probably see that. Utah's been really good. It's just that when they look bad, it looks bad. And a lot of that is energy, and I'm not even going to say effort. I think a lot of it's actual energy, especially at this point. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Well, I guess we'll be back next week, and we'll talk a little bit about how the homestand's going, and maybe even start looking ahead at the big road trip. And again, man, this is a pivotal point for their playoff positioning. If you're not already a subscriber to The Athletic, go to theathletic.com/gamenotes and sign up now. Hey, support the show.
Hey, before we shut down, do we want to have a Q&A next week?
You know, we'll see how it goes. I guess you got a homestand. Yeah, let's do a Q&A. We'll do a Q&A.
That live Q&A was so good.
Yeah, it was a good time. I hope the people that weren't able to catch it actually enjoyed listening to the podcast version. Yeah, Tony, you know what? I think we're going to do that. So if you're a subscriber, We're going to do a Q&A next week. Tony will throw out a tweet. It'll be Monday or Tuesday. And pop in, ask us some questions, and Tony can cook for you guys a little bit. Does that work for you, Tony?
I can cook for you.
There we go. So Tony's going to serve up some answers to your questions, and I'll be there hanging out, trying to provide at least some comic relief, if nothing else. That's going to do it for this week, folks. For Tony Jones, I'm Dave DeFore, and this has been Game Notes, the Athletic Podcast Network.